Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Before we get into today's WASD numbers, I want to talk a little bit about outside markets with you. And I want you to focus some time on Treasuries and its meltdown in the face of the Obama tax talk up on the Hill and what it potentially means in the first quarter going next year.
Well, in the short term, the next 30, 45 days, probably not a lot, Dave. I think we're seeing some of the reaction of the higher bond yields being played out in the correction in the precious metals markets, both gold and silver. You know, silver and gold are both traded as precious metals, industrial metals, and also as an investment. And I think the investment side of those two metals, we're seeing some money taken out and taken off the table because of the interest rate starting to go up, the bond yield starting to go up. And I think that, if that continues on through, much like we've been talking about the last year and a half, the federal government has done a good job of keeping interest rates low, and therefore the commodity demand is staying high in terms of both investment and feeding emerging markets like China. At this point, if we start to see interest rates go higher, what will happen eventually, what typically happens eventually, is that investment money gets attracted back to those higher yields and higher interest rates, and they go after what's called the zero-risk or low-risk asset class like the bonds, and they leave the higher-risk asset classes like commodities and stocks. And I think that's where we're probably headed once we get past the February time frame, is what I'm thinking, is once we get past into the first quarter, if the interest rates and bond yields continue to go up like they have been, that's probably where it's going to suck some of the potential money out of both the emerging markets and out of the commodities as a result.
All right, then, let's turn our attention to WASD today, a big yawner for the most part. Seems to me that sets up a January report that could be significant for the first quarter.
Yeah, it really does, and it's interesting because the one thing the report did for me personally was confirm the leadership of the wheat. And when you talk about the January report, I went back and overlaid a chart of the July 2011 wheat futures and the 2008 July wheat futures, and it's amazing how much they've tracked with one another the last 30 days. And in late 07, the July 08 futures peaked out right around this time period of the December report, found the correction, went sideways, and then went parabolic after the January report and essentially didn't stop until it got to March. And I think that might be what we're setting ourselves up for, and I think that's where, after the report numbers came out, like you say, for the most part it was a yawner, I think where you have the leadership before the report in terms of the fundamentals is the weather and the Asian equities and outside markets, and then the technicals are the other part of the leadership before the report. I think all three of those things are still the leaders after the report. I think the technicals are especially important right now. Tried to hit that on the last commodity week we did last month, as the technicals are really important here because, to me, they dictate where the funds are going to be heading between now and the end of the year.
Seems to me that as you look at these technicals in the short term, it appears to me that corn needs to get above 575.76 with some force very soon if it's going to make any assault towards $6 by the end of the year. And then if you look at the beans, it looks to me 1306.07, and we need to see something above that if we're going to even get a run on the November highs.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. And, you know, what's interesting is that so far the outside markets are supportive of that. I think even the weather is supportive of that, because when you talk corn, I think because of the blender's credit question mark and the tax bill all wrapped into one, the corn longs are still staying on the sidelines. And I would say one thing the report today probably did to those potential longs is want to keep them on the sidelines, because some in the trade were disappointed with the 832 million bushel carryover. Mm-hmm. And so I think that even puts more pressure on the wheat and the beans to move higher. And that's where, to me, we need to get that March corn above that 575. Even 580 would be really nice in the very, very short term. And that kind of gives you a technical breakout and takes some of the pressure off of some of the fundamentals out there and gives you the ability for all three of them to work together. So for me, I would not want to see that March wheat contract go below 780. You know, we opened out of the gate gapping lower on the global increase in ending stocks for wheat. I'd like to see us build going into the close today in terms of the price action, get us back up on the week, and get us back into a level that says, let's go ahead and take this up one more time.
The other piece is timing. It seems to me what we're talking about needs to get this job done before, toward the end of next week.
I think that's 100% right, Dave. I would even say that between Monday and Tuesday is a critical time period. And what we're hearing right now as far as the tax bill and whether the ethanol blender's credit's going to be wrapped into that tax bill or try to be cut out, we're hearing that there's going to be some work done this weekend with the vote early in the week. I think that's where this Capitol Hill issue has really come in and kind of stalled out the markets. And I think, you know, the other thing we haven't talked about is the Chinese did raise their bank lending rate overnight, sixth time this year.
Right.
But I think the market pretty much priced that in back on Tuesday when the trade started to hear, talk of that and even talk of them raising their interest rates before the end of the year, which is still probably coming. So I think between the wheat and the Informa numbers, the Abare numbers, the Chinese data, and interest rate talk earlier in the week, I would think that we have priced in a lot of negativity at this point and would give the market a chance to see a lot of short covering if we could get up to these technical areas that you and I have been talking about.
Meanwhile, I think that the downside key for people looking to see if the market begins to fall apart, for example, in beans, would be that reversal low that we had a couple of days ago.
Yes, that 1266.5 level. That would also take out the 10-day moving average if it happened on a close. We hadn't seen that in Jan futures since, I think, the 24th of November. So I think beans are probably the most susceptible to a quick push one way or the other just because they're the most pure weather market in terms of uncertainty. You know, the damage that's been done in Australia is pretty much done, and there can be more actual physical damage done this week with the rains that they've had, but you can still salvage the South American crop pretty easily. So if you get a mysterious rain come out of nowhere for those areas of Argentina, like Santa Fe, Cordoba, La Pampa, those areas that still aren't supposed to get much rain the next week, if you get a surprise rain out of that, that's probably where the beans have the most susceptibility to a downside break.
And then the reversal lower to the upside in the March corn around 550 or so.
Yeah, exactly right. You saw March corn hold its lows from Thursday today so far. Unfortunately, the weekly lows are all the way back down into the 550s, and so we wouldn't want to see Thursday's lows taken out because you really don't have much support until you get all the way back down to that Tuesday, Wednesday low of around the 550, 555 area.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a good day.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana.